Politics can be such an angry bird at times. Not much different for any elected office anywhere in the United States. In most cases, the head of that office gets elected to the position and then must come in to face many employees who have been hired by a predecessor. Many times those employees who've been there for years and feel they have the run of the office start to feeling their jobs are in danger. That being the case at times, and with the encouragement of the newly elected official's opponents and other outside influences, those employees set out early to sabotage their new boss. It's a story of betrayal at its best, told over and over again every time a newly elected official takes office. It would seem that when the new official takes office, it would be their decision as to who would serve under them. But no, that's not always the case. And this is even worse. If the newly elected official is young, and even greater aggravated if she's a woman. In what could be one of the most blatantly obvious cases of discrimination by a county that is still infested with the good old boy way of politics, that very same scenario is being played out in the office of the Bexar County Constable Precinct 2 this very day. You see, Constable Michelle Vella is under siege, not by the everyday criminal, but by an older, wiser street gang known as the good old boy politicos. Gangsters that don't fight fair. They use weaklings to create fake stories to attempt to discredit people. They use the media to do the same in the public eye by telling tales without facts, all in an effort to control another office they could not win. As a young woman, Michelle Vella always wanted to become a law enforcement officer. This is her story. In her own words.
I went into the sheriff's office as a reserve deputy, got some training there, and I probably worked everything and anything you can think of as far as 911 dispatching calls. Pretty much did all my training there. That's where I started off. And then I received a call from a constable's office. Hey, Barrentes, I hear that. Back then I would go by Barrentes. I heard you're a very good officer. I would like for you to come over to my department. I think that you would be a great access over here. And also there's a lot of things that I believe as a constable's office, we can present over to you. And you know, you may like it. So I debated for a while back and forth, but I just really enjoyed being over at the sheriff's department. And so it took me some time, probably about a month or two, while I rode it around. And I said, you know what, I will try the constable's office. So I transferred over into a constable's office, learned a new concept of law enforcement part of it, which was a civil law.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting. I loved it. But the constable's office that I was at actually did everything. So they did law enforcement as far as also in civil and in law enforcement as anything you can think of. And so I got both of the best worlds, basically. You know, we work alongside SAPD and mm-hmm. other municipalities. And so they have gotten familiar with my office and, you know, our duties and so forth. And so we work together when we got on the street. And so whether, you know, we're backing them up or vice versa. So now the law enforcement here within Bexar County, since I've taken office, has now gotten familiar with the duties of a constable.
Right.
They are now aware that we're able to do state law as well as a civil law and so forth, and the traffic and yes. anything that comes with law enforcement.
So how long have you been a constable now?
Well, probably since about the ending of 2009, give or take. A lot of hard work and dedication yeah. with the constituents, you know, because it's...
You know, and your story came up, and I was looking at all the people, and I thought, my God, these people hate this lady.
What is it about
her? I want to go meet her. I want to find out what on earth she did to piss all these people off to the point where they hate her so bad.
Well, in a politic role, because of constituents, I mean, I have a great support of constituents. And that's, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my constituents. So the world of politics is a whole nother world. You know, I always tell everybody that I'm not a politician at heart. I'm a peace officer at heart. That's just who I am. Always been that way since day one of coming into law enforcement. But I had to swim the waters of the sharks to get over to the other side in order to make a difference in law enforcement. And that's really what it was about for me now, is that I've experienced what it is to be a peace officer on the street, but now I wanted a more impact from me and what I could give back. And that's one of the reasons I ran. And so also I'm very vocal, I believe. And so I don't believe in the good old boy system. I just won't do it, and I won't join it. And you know, when you're dealing with politicians that have been in office for several years, and to have someone that is elected that brings change and that challenges the existing elected officials that have been in their seat for some time, that's going to cause a problem.
What exactly is the problem with these people? What mm-hmm. is it the thing at the park with the, it was that, yeah, was that like a whole,
I think it's just something that came afterwards.
Yeah.
Pretty much from day one, as soon as I walked in this office, I had not even sat here for about 2 hours when already the media was on me for a story. And so it's coming in again, making new changes. With any administration, you have to do that.
So can you tell us what the whole park thing was all about?
County had contacted me, sometime before Easter came up saying, hey, Constable, we need some officers for Easter event to provide all security. I said, not a problem. How many do you need? Four. I said, okay, great. I made the arrangements. I got myself as well as three officers to provide security because my other guys also have part-time jobs.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's kind of working around your schedule. Who can do it, who can't? And so I had to step in also. And so we were paid two officers from 7 to 3:15. And then from 4 to 10 o'clock at night would be the other two just to kind of patrol around the park. However, we have two private pavilions. And so those are privately rented and they have to have privately secured law enforcement security.
Right,
for
they
those
each have
two.
To have their own.
Exactly,
officer,
so that's besides the park area.
Right.
And so me and my chief actually arrived on scene earlier. And we were working, and I rented a pavilion for me because I said, okay, I'm going to get off at 3. I told my husband, come on over. We'll barbecue. We'll just stay at the park. No big deal. I said, we can enjoy it with the grandkids and so forth.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Did you hear what she said? She personally rented one of the pavilions for her and her family to enjoy the holiday. One of the pavilions. The pavilion in question. The pavilion that these guys were now trying to come over and claim for themselves on this holiday.
And so when we were there in the morning, I saw some people trying to set up on the pavilion. And so I said, well, okay, let me go tell them, what's going on. I said, so, excuse me, sir, but the pavilion's been running out. You don't mind setting up anywhere else. It's not a problem. You just can't do it here because these are privately rented. I never told him I rented one of them. I just don't like doing that.
Right.
And so he goes, okay, no problem, and he moved.
But you had rented it.
Yes, I did. And I also had the receipts
and you were
and
the officer. I mean, there was an officer there, right?
Yes, and okay. Actually I had all my receipts, everything, so that was good. And so then he came back with some more people, and I thought, oh my God, are we going to have a little trouble with this guy? Because sometimes people show up at these pavilions,
right,
and they don't pay. They just want to drink,
sure,
and have all these. And that's happened sometimes, and we have to go up there, and we have to talk to him and so forth. So he comes back with another group of people, and I thought, oh gosh, okay. And it's too early in the day because it was like about 10:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
And then the park manager comes over, and he says, Constable, I made a mistake. I was like, okay, well, what kind of mistake you made? Because I'm kind of looking around, what mistake is going on in the park because everything's really calm. He goes, Constable, I'm going to apologize. He goes, the pavilion was rented. He goes, and I thought they canceled. He goes, and then I charged you for it too. He goes, I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. Stop the presses again. Here we have part of the issue itself. The park manager comes over and tells the constable who he had already rented the pavilion to that he made a mistake. That he had already rented the pavilion out to, apparently, these other guys who had canceled, and so he rented it to the constable so that she could use with her family. And now these other guys showed up. So he's taken the money from them as well, and he apparently rented it to the constable also. So here you go. Here is where the whole problem started. Continue, please.
I said, okay, no problem. Tell you what. I'll just tell my family to move over to the site. It's not a big deal. He goes, no, Constable. Over at Pavilion 1, there's a little kitchen area that has some tables. You guys can scoot over. I said, oh, great. No problem. So I went and told my husband, just move everything over with the kids. It worked out perfect. We didn't have a big group. Okay. And so I told the guy, hey, just let you know, I didn't see your name in my office for law enforcement security. I said, so as long as you don't have alcohol and you have a minimal under 50 people, then you're good to stay here without law enforcement. Anyway, we're kind of driving around, so if anything happens, just wave us down. Okay, not a problem. Well, then the truck started pulling in with big speakers, and alcohol started coming off the car, or the trucks, and I thought, oh my God, we're going to have a problem. It's a gut feeling I got that day, and I thought, this isn't going to turn out good. And so I go back, and then I tell my chief, hey, chief, go talk to him, explain the rules again to him. And unfortunately, if he puts the alcohol away, and even if he goes over a little bit, we're okay with that. But if he hits that amount of people, then we're going to have to start providing security, meaning we're going to have to check out of our other job to come do security here because I don't have no manpower to bring in right now because it's Easter day. We're not going to find anybody.
Right. Not on the last minute. Yeah.
Exactly, on the last minute. And so my chief went over, explained to him, the fees and so forth. And so at another point in time, I made contact with him again and told him, you have alcohol. you know, what's going to happen is that we're going to, it's going to be $25 an hour. We usually charge $50 an hour on holidays, but it's going to be 25. You'll get 25 for me, 25 for him per hour. How long are you going to be here? Because we're at another job and I'm not going to be able, the earliest I can start providing security is at 1 o'clock. He goes, no problem. He goes, well, I want to rent it from 1 to 7. I said, okay. I said, it's going to be $25. He's like, okay, no problem. At first he had to say, he's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, sir, then you can't have your alcohol. You know, it's one or the other. These are rules that the Parks and Recs puts on, and we have to enforce them. And so we gave him all the rules and stuff. And so eventually he wind up paying for his security. Not a problem. Well, you know, the crazy thing about it is that we checked out at 1 o'clock from my other job. I was supposed to already be enjoying, you know, at 3 with my family. I wind up having to work. My family actually went home because they weren't going to enjoy Easter with me. So he went home with my kids and the grandkids. And so I stayed working there from 1 till 8:30 in the evening. And they actually got an extra hour and a half without no charge because I said, yeah, I'm not going to charge these guys. Just let them enjoy the rest of the day. I told Chief, no big deal. And so we stayed there and provided security for them. Again, they had big speakers, music, dancing. I mean, it was pretty big. It was so loud that the whole park was enjoying the music. I mean, that's how nice it was. And so we thought, okay, great. You know, the man approached me, Mr. Reyes, and he says at the end, hey, Constable, I want to tell you thank you. I know that you were only trying to do your job. He goes, and I understand what you guys are here for. So not a problem. Thank you very much for actually helping us out, for staying here and providing the security. I said, okay, no problem. So I thought we ended it on a good note. And then come that Monday, when we returned back to work, he actually showed up here in my office and was knocking. And so then my clerk was home, so she opens a window, and he's telling her, you know what, can you let the constable know, and I wasn't here at the time, can you let the constable know that, you know, I want to say thank you, that, you know, her and her chief were very professional, and they handled everything, you know, as best as they could with us. And so we really appreciate it. I personally wanted to come and say thank you. And so when I came back in, she goes, hey, Constable, she goes, Mr. Reyes was here saying thank you. And I said, oh, okay, no problem, thank you, and I appreciate that. And so we left it as that. And then before I know it, I'm getting calls, you're on the paper. I said, on the paper.
And you're
so
in the paper and on the TV.
For squeezing money out of someone. I was not happy.
So do you think that all this bull that's going on now, mm-hmm. You think that's coming? And this is a hard question to answer, because do you think some of that is even coming from inside your department somewhere, from some of the people that might have been here?
That is true. When we first started off, that just from walking in day one, the reason why I was on TV because of the existing officers that I actually had in here. And so we had a lot of, you know, and I hate to say it, but with the new administration, you definitely have to look at cleaning up some. I mean, it's a must. It's not, you know, nothing that, it's no secret. And so a lot of people are like, shh, let's not talk about that. You can't say that you're going to go clean house. Reality is that the community isn't happy with the existing officers. So if I'm going to bring in change, if I'm the change, then I have to have a whole new set of officers that are going to come in and see that change with me in order to make that happen.
You know, and it's weird because people don't understand, you know, I mean, once you get elected and you go in into your office, you're the boss. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to respect you. They have to respect your title, your badge. You know, they have to respect that.
Correct.
And it's simple. You know, if they don't like it, hey, they can leave. Yes. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, if you guys don't like it, if you're not going to do your job, there you go.
Exactly, because the only thing that's expected from these deputies is to do your job, period. Mm-hmm. And again, there's new changes. If you're able to work with that, by all means, stay on board. But if that's something you can't handle, then I completely understand. And, you know, if you need to seek employment somewhere else, then, of course, I'm going to back you up. I'm not going to just shoo you out the door. And so you're going to have my support to move along. But I would hope that you would be able to stay here with me and make those positive changes. You know, and as time went by, that didn't happen. Currently, right now, I have a brand new set of deputies, except for two that I still have existing here. But these deputies, I mean, you know, I'm going to give them praise. They do a lot of hard work. They go out and do the job. These officers put in not 100%, but 150%. And that's something that I like because that's who I am. So I have a good set of officers right now. And, you know, I think that with that comes, you know, not only strong leadership, but guidance, but also, you know, your deputies begin to respect you and see what you're about, you know, what you're looking for. And they also want that in them too. And so I like to consider that we now are a team. So we're a team. We're able to work together. And I go on the front lines with my guys at times, too. And, you know, I think that that's a good thing, too, so I don't forget where I come from. Mm-hmm. And also see what's going on the street. Right. Now, you know, at times when I do go out to the street, I tend to attract people. Wow. You know, and that's something that's always going to happen. But I can tell you prior to that, just being a regular deputy, you always have those deputies that stuff just happens all the time. Okay, that was me before I as being a regular officer. But again, too, I think it's just something that I like to make it a positive. You know, it's a thing that I have to look at saying, well, if this is for some reason landing in front of me, maybe it's because I'm able to handle those situations along with my deputy. So we have to turn it into a positive. And so we keep on moving along.
So you're in your what term now?
I'm in my first term, but I'll
you're
be
still
going
in your
up.
First term?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'm going up for election time here in about 6 more months. So we're getting ready to start campaigning.
So do you think that's where all this stuff is coming from? The fact that we're getting so close to election again?
That could be one of them, definitely. One is
I probably can guarantee you that's probably
that's coming close to that.
Sure, it gets
right.
It's going to get
worse. But just being a female in law enforcement was something that, you know, history was made. I was the first female constable here in Precinct 2. And so that was new for men in law enforcement to sit down with a woman and have I like to call it a roundtable discussion of how we're going to come together and work together. And so that was very new to them. And we attempted that. And so I'm still trying. And I like to say I keep trying because ultimately at the end of the day, I tell all the elected officials, you know, whether it's personal, whether it's not, at the end of the day, we need to set all personal feelings aside and look at reasoning and look at what we were elected to do, bottom line. And so there are bigger, greater issues that need to be addressed versus this nitpicking back and forth.
No, you're right. You're right. You know,
well, here when I took office, another thing that I saw a challenge of just being a female too, and I don't like using the female card because I really want to push for equality where we're just all the same. But sometimes that's still in a process. And so when I took office, I noticed that I needed a new administration, correct? And so I went before Bexar County and asked, you know, do you mind if I bring in my own team? I think it'll be more effective and it's better that way. And so these guys are coming in seeing my views and my concept of what I want. And so that was denied to me. And they were like, no, you got to pick from inside the house. And I thought, well.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God. But they can't do that, really.
Yes, and that was a fight.
You're the elected consul. They can't do that.
That was a fight. Well, what they told me was that the chief at the time was civil service protected.
Whatever.
And I said, well, the other constables are not civil service protected. Not only that, if that's the case, if we look over to the sheriff's department, come on, they're civil service protected. He's bringing a brand new team. What is the difference here? Why can't I just have the same thing?
There is none.
There is no difference. So that was a fight. So I winded up having to pick two individuals from in-house, and then I brought in two officers as reserve deputies who worked for me. Which really helped me out because these two really truly understood my concept, but were also willing to come in with non-pay. And we moved forward. We did come across some issues with those two officers, and eventually, you know, they were found to falsify documents and so forth. And this was one of the reasons why I wanted a clean, brand new administration so I would not have to come across something like that, which eventually we did. Eventually, you know, I wind up terminating them and I filed charges on them and they were able to go back to civil service and get their jobs back. Even with all the information with the outside agency, it's saying, hey, constable, yes, they did it. And I tried to be fair where I had an outside agency come in, do the investigation, so there was no conflict of interest, none of my input in there.
So Constable Vella did the right thing. When she had a problem with these two constables that she eventually had to terminate, she brought in an outside agency to do the investigation so that people would understand that there was transparency and that there was no funny business in those officers getting terminated. However, good old boy politics works in mysterious ways. Even when it came to the Civil Service Board, which normally has 3 members sitting so that they can influence a vote one way or the other, in this particular case, good old boy politics made sure that that didn't happen.
And so I did it the appropriate way, and even with that, the Civil Service, instead of having a 3-panel board that day, they decided to cut it down to 2 without a deciding factor and give them both their jobs back.
There you go. Good old boys. The good old boys.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Still exists.
And so, you know, we proceed on forward to file charges. And the day, actually, of the civil service hearing, you know, these two officers, they insisted that they would get their titles back for me and work alongside me inside in my office here. And as you can see, it's very small. And I said, no, I stood my ground and said, no, these officers broke the law and they should be held accountable for it. And this was one of my platforms that I also ran on. I said, so no, they're not going to work alongside me, and no, they're not going to get their title back. And at that point in time, you know, both officers said, well, if you're not going to give us our rank or our title back, then we're just going to make accusations. I was like, well, you know what? You have to do what you have to do.
That's it.
And I'm going to do what I have to do, and we're going to end it as that. And this is where these allegations began. And now today, if we speed up, we're, you know, I have some cases that have been filed over at the courthouse for alleged sexual discrimination. And the story keeps changing. So So I never know what's at it, because, you know, sometimes I have a guy call up.
But are you under criminal investigation right now,
sir,
for anything?
No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all. Yeah. No criminal investigation. Yeah. I haven't broken the law. I haven't done anything wrong. And so this topic that recently came up about, you know, let's remove her from office, you know, Judge Nelson Wolf, and because of this Easter event deal that happened. And so...
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Judge Wolf said, let's remove you from office?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
For what purpose was that?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that one out, too, because I'm like, if you're going to remove me, sir, then you better make sure that you have facts.
Well, he can't. You're an elected official.
And that was something we also said. Sir. We are all elected officials here, and I have not done anything criminally wrong. And so if you seek to go ahead and remove me, then you better have facts behind that. Because if you don't, then there's going to be a lot of liabilities that come afterwards. Because this is not, you know what, it's uncalled for,
right. What
you guys are doing. You know, they have connections. And this is something when I get into the world of politics is the other side that I get to see, because I'm actually inside. The connections to the paper, the connections to, you know, media. It is mind-blowing to see what happens behind these closed doors.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't
say anything.
Sometimes
I'm surprised. Sometimes I'm surprised at to some of the things that the TV stations bring up, because you're thinking, where's the proof in that? If you don't have any proof, how are you doing that story?
Right.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's kind of been one of our fights, too, is how can you be putting us all over? And, you know, just being in the world of politics, we now know that there's a lot of connections that are going around. And considering that I'm so vocal and that I say what I see, and I'm going to say what I see. And they're not used to an individual coming along like me. They just don't know what to do with me right now. They're like, wow, you're new. We've never dealt with anybody like you. Usually they come into the politic roles, and before you know it, they're part of our team.
How big is your precinct?
My precinct's almost 500,000 strong. If you look at the steps of the courthouse, roughly downtown area, all the way past Helotes area, Tillon Road area, and we go over by the airport area, and then over by roughly... Calabria 151 area.
That's a pretty good
And so we have a huge part. The heart of West Side is all in my area, and of course downtown.
And how many deputies do you have?
Right now we have 18 full-time deputies. Okay. And we roughly got about 6 reserve deputies that come in and help out.
So what would you say, what would you say to the people that elected you, and those who are out there right now knowing that the election is coming back up? What would you want to say to those people about voting for you again, about asking for their vote? What would you want to say?
Well, I would like for them to consider the individual that knocked on their door, because I literally walked to pretty much every home within Precinct 2. You know, consider the individual that they spoke with that day. Consider what they asked from that individual, what changes they were looking for, what they were looking for in a constable, and coming forward and looking at the work I've done within the community, because I've done a lot of events, a lot of projects with our community, to look at the truth and the facts that are set before. I'm trying to be more of what the community is looking for, more of truth, more of doing what the constituents asking them, instead of looking at personal views.
What are your greatest needs as a constable in this precinct? What do you think is lacking that you actually need that you would like more of?
Sure. Well, we definitely are known as the poorest constable's precinct right now. Manpower is what we need. You know, going out speaking with my constituents, we have a lot of homeowners that live within Precinct 2. We have a lot of property owners and so forth. So the demand of paperwork that comes through my office sometimes is not always met in a timely manner, because of the fact that we just do not have enough officers. So we definitely need more police officers or deputies within Precinct 2. We need body cameras. You know, we need a bigger budget. I'm not asking for a whole lot, but the basic needs of what it takes to run a constable's office, because transparency has been one of my major factors in trying to be as transparent. But however, with that, we also need body cameras. because it's going to be for the safety of the community as well as the deputy that's out in the field. And as of today, we
and the county. The county needs to protect itself, too. Sure.
Exactly, for the liability reasons. And so we see ourselves, well, we're out in the field, and, you know, there might be an incident, and it's only a one-sided story because, again, we don't have the video coverage to prove exactly what transpired. And so there is a lot of liabilities on both parts, and it needs to be looked at. And I know recently at Commissioner's Court, my chief brought up the subject again about, you know what, let's stop all this, you know, talking stuff right now. Let's focus on body cameras, or we wouldn't be here, because this is one of the reasons why we're here, because stories are going around. Had we had the video coverage to prove exactly what transpired, then we wouldn't be where we're at right now. And so they kind of blew us off, and then we heard about 40 minutes later they approved, you know, thousands of dollars to be poured into body cameras for the sheriff's office. We were just there asking for the same thing. We were there a year before and a year before that, and here we are still today without body cameras. And so I think that the money needs to be the right way, evenly as possible, within reason, correct, to how big the department is. And so that needs to be really re-looked at also. If we walked around my office right now, you would notice that we have holes in our walls. It's a really poor department. Equipment's breaking down. You know, there's times where I've actually purchased stamps, you know, within the hundreds at times, just to make sure that our mail is getting mailed out for the constituent, because the budget has now, there's no more money. And so that's a fight between me and the county as far as trying to get a bigger budget for the demand of civil paperwork that's coming through. And, you know, these are things that the community doesn't know, that, you know, I pad a pocket, because I would hate for someone to come in and we, you know, it sits there because we don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And so, I get into my personal funds, I pour out the money, and then I go to bat with the county. What they're trying to do is condense us down where we're unable to do the civil paperwork.
Well, you know what? I think it's called trying to squeeze you out of business.
Exactly. And they're condensed us so much that we're unable to do the paperwork. So what they're going to do is they're going to take the civil paper and they're going to hand it over to the sheriff and says, well, you know what? These constables can't do it. So let's try to see how we can, again, continue getting them out.
Wouldn't it be like a constitutional thing in order to be able to have them shut the constable's office
down?
It
is. We're down to the four. That's it. Right. We're at the most minimal. And as far as constitutional, you know, it's going to
after these four, they can't cut any more constables.
No, I mean, sir.
They're down to the minimum.
Yeah. We're at a very minimal.
You know, I'd like to say that that I'm glad you're doing all that.
Yes.
And it's a shame that you're out there trying to fight the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you have to fight some of the good guys because they're on your butt, too. That's, you know, and you're going, hey, what's going on? I thought we were all on the same team.
Exactly. So. And, you know, when you go against the county, they will try to put doubt in individuals' minds.
Oh, sure.
That's,
you know, because
plan.
That's a plan. You know, if we can get somebody in here that, you know, is going to join us, then why not?
So do you find that you have any allies, like, on the commissioner's court? Any one of the commissioners?
No, I'm just going to be quite blank.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Know. At first, you know, I thought that probably, you know, Calvert might be one. He seems like an individual that at times wants to help, but I think that his hands are tied with his colleagues, considering that they work together. And so that would be the only one today that I could see has that in him. But is he willing to stand alone too at times? Because really, you know, if you want change in today in Bear County,
yeah, but you got to consider
yourself.
You got to consider that it took him a long time to get into that position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we were talking, you know, once you're in there, you don't want to rock the boat too much because you don't want them to bump you out.
But we're going to stand strong. We're going to keep moving forward. Like I said, I have a lot of constituents that are happy with the job I am doing, which is really good.
That's what counts.
But that's what matters. And again, too, you know, the generation comes behind us. They really, really have to see a positive change now. I mean, we can't stay with that old concept of this is good enough because it's not good enough.
Well, the one good thing is that the older people are doing nothing but getting older. So eventually they're either going to die off or they're not going to be in numbers enough to where they're going to be able to make that difference.
Right.
And you are going to get new people. You are going to get people that care, you know. And,
yes.
And I think when it comes to the younger generation, like you said, I think sometimes we don't give them enough credit.
It's true.
You know, we think that they really don't care about what's going on or any of that stuff.
But they do.
But you'd be surprised.
They
They're
do.
Pretty smart.
I'd like to thank Michelle Vella, her husband, and her son for sitting down and meeting with me for this interview, showing me the facts to prove that what she says is all true. And if you have any comments or statements about this interview or anything else, feel free to call 210-595-9663. You can call, it's a voicemail, leave your message, you don't have to leave your real name, and we'll get your question on the podcast. Between now and the next election, there's a lot to consider. Maybe we should look a little closer, maybe more has to be done to make politics a little bit more equal for everyone. Until next time, keep calling 210-595-9663.